You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that he will hide us under his feathers, and under his wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan Devon is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan Devon.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Devall. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com and at www.thefireplacechurch.org. And folks, we are now going two nights a week at thefireplacechurch.org, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, every Friday and Sunday night. Folks, I'm really excited because today we're going to be getting into it with Jeff Jansen on miracles and the mysteries of sound and light. Really cool stuff that we're going to be talking about today. Prepare yourselves. I need to make an announcement, and I've said this before, but I'm going to really make a point of making it clear that there's going to be a school. It's actually going to be a conference slash school that's occurring at Jeff Jansen's church, Global Fire Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And that's going to be in November 4th through the 6th. Now I'm having Jeff on my program today and we're going to be getting into some things. What I am really excited about is letting you know that there's going to be a lot of teaching and impartation awaiting you November 4th through the 6th. And if you are, you know, excited about some of the stuff we're going to be touching on today, man, oh man, just wait for the actual school. Now, if you are interested, say, whoa, I'm not too far from Tennessee. I'd actually be really interested in seeing, you know, Dan Devall live, and also Jeff Jansen, who is an awesome man of God. I mean, just the way the Holy Spirit shows up at Jeff's meetings is just spectacular. And you'll find out real soon what I'm talking about. But if this sounds like something you are interested in, www.globalfireministries.com is where you go to sign up for this conference, November 4th through the 6th. Now, there's a lot going on at Bride Ministries, but I'm going to tell you something. I had a revelation, guys, thanks to some really awesome help, that these intros have been kind of long. So I am going to be buttoning it up. In other words, shortening things, because you guys know what I'm doing. I mean, I think after, you know, 2 years of saying the same things over and over again, like, this is what we're doing, and oh, by the way, we're going to do this, and here it is again, and still the same plan, and so on and so forth. A lot of you that follow this program are getting it, and I've been getting more and more testimonies. You know, Dan Devall, I'm guilty of just fast-forwarding your intros because they just, you know, I know what you're saying. This tells me two things. One, praise God that people are listening to the programs. Two, it's worked. What we have done by repeating the vision over and over again has worked. And now those of you that follow this ministry know where we're going and what we plan to do. So I am going to begin just kind of shortening these and just giving brief overviews, very brief. And we're just excited because, you know, God, he is doing it. It's happening in front of our eyes. We are helping survivors. We are working towards the creation of the DID coaching school. We are expanding and allowing for volunteer opportunities through the Fireplace Church in the form of internet-based moderators. We have made support groups available to survivors of satanic ritual abuse and government-sponsored mind control agendas through Bride Ministries. We're looking at creating a prayer response team for all of you that write in and want prayer for specific needs. We are looking at creating solutions for that, a more direct approach to responding to you in prayer. We're looking at the outflow of more conferences, more types of training that you can sign up for, because we have been doing this discipleship. And this discipleship has just grown by leaps and bounds. By the way, you will have received an email if you have signed up for our waiting list, and you can sign up right now for the next set of discipleship courses, which will go 8 weeks and conclude before the holiday season in December. But these have just grown by leaps and bounds. And what we have found is that you guys are wanting more. You don't just want the four classes, Grace in Christ, the Kingdom, and Spiritual Warfare. You guys want Advanced Spiritual Warfare. So there is an Advanced Spiritual Warfare conference coming up October 15th. It's only available for those of you that have been to the classes, because I just, you know, really think that some foundation is necessary before going into what we're going to be getting into in that hands-on training. But, you know, it's there, and we're going to be creating Advanced Spiritual Warfare number 2. And now we're looking at, okay, we're going to be getting into even some of the stuff dealing with sheep nations, eschatology, really interesting things that some of you are also interested in the form of conference presentations through Bride Ministries. And, you know, the day will come where we're doing actual conferences that we are organizing in locations, you know, maybe where I live here in Texas or around the country, depending on the amount of interest in that specific region or geography. So there's a lot that's coming from Bride Ministries, folks. With that said, all I'm going to say is you guys have carried us this far, and you have taken us to this point as you have responded to the Holy Spirit and been generous in providing us financial support. Folks, everything that we do costs real money. I am not a one-man show here at all. We at Bride Ministries are a group. We have a board. We have employees. We have contractors. What we do costs money. We're spending thousands every week just to keep up with the obligations to ministry that we have made. And you know what? You've empowered us to do that. And I want to say thank you. And I also want to encourage you that listen to this program. Hey, if you are on board with what we are doing and you say, you know, this is an awesome thing here happening at Bride Ministries, visit us at bridemovement.com or thefireplacechurch.org. There are donate buttons there. It all goes to the same place. This is Bride Ministries, so bridemovement.com, thefireplacechurch.org. It's all being run under one umbrella. And you can support us there or by writing to us at P.O. Box 362, Nash, Texas, 75569. Without any further ado, I'm going to be getting to our guest. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. folks, we are back on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. And let me tell you, today we're going to be getting into it. And we're going to be going pretty deep into some supernatural stuff. Now, you know, if you listen to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall, that we are not shy about the supernatural. And we talk about the journeys of survivors all the time and how that entails interactions with angels, gods, direct divine intervention, all kinds of things that are kind of off the charts. I mean, to the extent that we're seeing implants removed supernaturally from physical bodies and all kinds of other manifestations of God's power. And I'll tell you what, today we're going to be talking with a man of God who is no stranger to the reality of God's power. And his name is Jeff Janssen. Now, the whole way I got to know Jeff is so interesting because I was invited to go to Australia by a pastor, Paul Tothill. And when I was there, I was introduced to another gentleman named Todd Weatherly. And God moved while we were in Australia the whole time. And I had an opportunity to minister to Todd, and he was a guest on my program just a few weeks ago. And, you know, Todd and Jeff happened to be great friends. And so when I got back, apparently Todd and Jeff had a conversation about what happened when I was in Australia, and that led Jeff to contact me, which led to me visiting his church, ministering to some of the people that were there, and also having the opportunity to speak. And I'll tell you what, it has just been awesome. And Jeff is an internationally recognized conference speaker and crusade evangelist. He is the founder of Global Fire Ministries International, the senior pastor of the Global Fire Church and World Miracle Center located in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And he's been featured on many television and radio broadcasts, including It's Supernatural with Sid Roth. He is the author of a number of books, including Glory Rising, The Believer's Guide to Miracles, Healing, Impartation, and Activation, Revival of the Secret Place, and one we'll even be getting into today called The Furious Sound of Glory. Jeff, it is my honor to have you on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey, Dan, bless you. Looking forward to our conversation today. That was quite an introduction.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to give you the proper introduction. I mean, you've done a lot. And I'll tell you what, you have seen some radical things, my friend. And I want to get into some of that. A lot of things that you have seen has been really forerunner type things. God has unveiled things to you that the rest of the church is totally not caught up with or even catching up to in some parts, even now. But I'm a big fan of pushing the envelope. Let me get started here. You were on a recent trip in Peru doing one of your evangelistic crusades with several other men of God. And I want to let you tell my listening audience about what happened, what you saw, some of the testimonies, and basically how God moved.
Well, first of all, I want to say it's good to be on the show, and thanks for having me on, and blessings to everybody that's listening today. Let me get into it just real quickly. As you mentioned before, I'm really good friends with Todd Weatherly, who was just recently a guest on your program. Todd and I have been friends for a long time, as well as Paul Tothill, who's Gateway International in Adelaide, Australia. And just a couple of weeks ago, we launched the Global Fire Australia Mission Space. And what that is, the Lord blessed us with 186 acres just north of Adelaide, Australia. And it's one of five bases that are in process of being developed globally. And it's for the purpose, just for the sole purpose of training, equipping, impartation, activation. We've got some world leaders that are working with us, international itinerant individuals like myself. David Hogan, some of you may know David Hogan. He's a very, very good friend of mine. David is well known for dead raising. He's personally raised 37 from the dead. His ministry has personally raised over 500. Has an amazing work in the mountains of Mexico, travels globally. And, you know, he is an apostle an apostolic evangelist, basically. He's got about 4,000 churches with him. And so David is working with us. Bobby Connor is working with us, another international prophet. And there's others that are working with us to train, equip, impart, and activate. So we just launched the Global Fire Australia Missions Base this year, and then we took the team that was there in Australia, and we did a crusade in Cusco, I believe it is, which is north of Lima. We did a crusade in Lima, and then we did one in Cusco. Again, we saw thousands of people come to Christ. Crazy, crazy miracles. Everybody on the team got a chance to pray for people. Everybody on the team saw miracles. Many of them, it was their very first time being activated in the supernatural, activated in just laying on hands and healing the sick, not praying for the sick, but healing the sick, because Jesus said in Matthew 10, 7 and 8, he said, as you go, he said, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick. Don't pray for them, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Don't pray for the dead to get up. You raise them. Cast out devils, you know, cleanse those that have diseases. And it's really the power of a prophetic decree, which we'll get into maybe a little bit later on. So everybody on the team saw miracles, and many of them for the first time. And we just had an amazing, amazing time. There was a man, I'll give you one testimony. There was a man there that had cancer in both of his eyes for 15 years. And he had lost his right eyeball, and it had been sutured shut by the doctor. And he came forward that night. I just released corporate healing over the masses as they stood, probably 3,000-4,000 people, released healing over the people, and heaven just dropped on them through prophetic decree. This man came forward that night. He was seeing out of both of his eyes. He was blind in both eyes. One eyeball was actually missing, and the sutured shut, but he was seeing out of both of his eyes, even with an eyeball missing and his eyeball sutured shut. Creative power, creative miracles. There was another 10-year, actually, he was about a 10, 11, 12-year-old deaf mute, never heard before, never spoke before. His mother brought him to the meeting. God completely opened his ears, and he spoke his first words on stage that night. So there were people getting out of wheelchairs, all different kinds of miracles. It was phenomenal. So we saw thousands and thousands of people come to Christ, and just radical, radical miracles and healings. It was amazing.
Yeah. So you're saying creative miracles, they manifest. This is not new information for you, though. I mean, this has been something that you have seen throughout your ministry.
Yeah, this is normal for me.
It almost sounds like blurring the veil between God's realm and ours.
I don't know. This is just normal. This is just normal, 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 supernatural, normal spiritual behavior. Every believer has the capacity to decree a thing, Job 22, and it's established. Every believer has the ability, the right, because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, you know, this, which is resurrection power, the Spirit of Holy out of Romans chapter 1, verse 4. It's the Spirit of Holy that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. It's the Holy Spirit that is resurrection power. And Romans 8, 11 says, if that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, you will blah, 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 blah. So bottom line is, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of resurrection or creative power. And we're made in the image of God, and we have the right to decree and to declare and to release creative power.
You know, I spent a lot of time, Jeff, talking about the kingdom of God, and really connecting believers, in my opinion, to the idea that supernatural life can be natural. Mm-hmm. You're a walking example of that. Now, I want to go to a critical moment in your life, which set you on a trajectory that has brought you to where you're at now. And that is an encounter you had with Jesus when you were 18.
Right. Right. Okay.
What happened?
Yeah. When I, when I was 18 years old, I just, you know, I was born and raised in Wisconsin and the Fox River Valley area and raised Catholic. I got saved in 1978, 1979 during the Charismatic Renewal by tongue-talking, prophesying Catholics. And there was a move of the Spirit in the Catholic Church called the Renewal, and that's where I got saved. I got saved in the Catholic youth group. So filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered, I mean, the whole enchilada that night. So back in, I had walked with the Lord for, you know, several years, and I had an insatiable hunger just to be with Jesus. And also, I'll just skip through some of this just for time's sake so that we can move on. But I was spending a lot of time just after the Lord. You know, back then there weren't any schools of the supernatural. There weren't any secret place schools. There weren't any schools, period. It was just raw hunger and spending time with the Lord. And, you know, the scripture says, you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Well, there was one night that I was in February in 1982 that I had been spending a lot of time with the Lord. It was obviously February in Wisconsin. It's very, very cold outside, so I'd been spending a lot of time indoors praying and worshiping. And I went to sleep that night, and I was awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by the presence of God just filled my room. I just remember the presence of God filling my room, just kind of coming over my body like waves of power, waves of love, waves of his presence. And, you know the place, and I'm sure many of you that are listening, that place that's in between sleep and awake where you're just coming to, you're just waking up. Well, I was coming to, I didn't open my eyes yet, but I could see the light on in the room, and I thought to myself, I left the light on in my room. And when I opened my eyes, I noticed there was a white shimmering light shining on the back wall. And, you know, this was a new apartment. It was a kitchenette with two bedrooms, a very, very small efficiency apartment. And I thought, well, the street light is shining in. Must be the street light shining in through the window behind my bed. The only problem was there was no window behind my bed. And as I'm thinking, as I'm waking up and I'm looking at the shimmering light on the back wall, and I'm thinking, where's this light coming from? It literally turned into a rainbow. And now I'm waking up thinking, there's a rainbow on my back wall. Where is that rainbow prism light coming from? Must be some kind of a refraction. As I'm thinking about processing where this shining rainbow is coming from on my back wall, and listen, I'm a Catholic kid, just saved a couple of years, don't know anything about visions, don't know anything about miracles, signs and wonders. I see this hand with a pen. And in liquid light, it wrote in the rainbow on my back wall, in cursive, I love you, Jeff. It was the Lord. And all the while, the love of God and the presence of God just was filling the room. And I'm just weeping, looking at my name. Just looking at my name. Even now, it just chokes me up. Looking at my name in the rainbow on the back wall. And as I'm looking at it, it turns into a television screen, and I see a stadium, and it's filled with people, and there's fireworks coming out of the top of it. But when the fireworks came out of the top, every time it would explode, it would have like healing in Jesus' name, miracles. Hallelujah was exploding like fireworks out of the top of the stadium. The crowd, every time it would go off, the crowd would roar. And as I'm looking at this stadium, this basically television, because the Lord was telling a vision of what my ministry would be like. I was seeing the stadium, and then it turned into a crusade ground in Africa. And I saw 100,000 faces, and I saw a stage, and I saw a band on the stage, and then I saw myself on the stage standing next to a dead man. And I walked over to the dead man, and I straddled him, and I'm watching this on the screen. I'm 19 years old, and I'm watching this on the screen. And it's in the future. And I pointed my finger down into the man's chest, and I rebuked the spirit of death in Jesus' name. And I released the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the man got up, and the crowd exploded. All kinds of miracles, all kinds of things happening, and people coming to Christ. Basically, that visitation was the Lord writing my name in the rainbow, or the promise, telling me what my vision through the television screen that I was watching on my back wall. He was telling a vision of what my ministry would be like with stadiums and crusades. And so I'm just now at 53 years old, you know, just now coming into the fullness of my scroll or my book and what's been written about my life. And it's been a process along the way.
Amazing. And it's really interesting that you know, that this was such a significant part of it, the light, even the rainbow,
yep.
Because you, Jeff, wrote a book called The Furious Sound of Glory. And you actually get into some of this. I mean, you get into light, you get into color, you get into sound. and I really want to get into that because there's a lot of revelation to be had on these subjects. And people kind of stop here. You know, you read the book of 1 John, like, well, God is light. God is love. Okay, and we get that far. God said, let there be light. And there was light, and it was the first day. And so we read it, and we're like, yeah, light, it's there. It's but the question is, what are the deeper implications? What is God doing with light? Why does God speak? Why doesn't God limit his creative capacity to his thought processes? If he's God, he can do whatever he wants. So there's so many revelations to be had on these subjects. And I want to get into this, okay? First of all, God is a speaking being. What is the biblical relevance of sound?
The biblical relevance of sound? Well, let me just give you a little bit of a point of science. You know, for years, science used to think that an atom broken down into its most minute form was light, and the light nature. But they've come to realize, and I'm not sure how long ago this revelation came or where they discovered this, but they were able to break down what they saw as light. They were able to break it down further. The bottom line is what they've broken light down into is super strings of sound, is what they called it, super strings of sound. So the origin of light, if you will, is sound, which makes sense. You know, if you look back in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, which means creator, he created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says that the earth was formless and void. It was dark. It was shapeless. And the Holy Spirit was brooding, moving around this mass of creation and recreation. And the very first thing it says, God speaks when the Holy Spirit is moving. And this is a formula for creative power. When the Holy Spirit is moving, speaking and the presence of God are necessary to create. So the Holy Spirit's moving over the formless, shapeless void in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. And God said, speaking, let there be light. So the origin of light is sound. It's the speaking voice of God saying, let there be light, which is vocal tone. It's a vibration. And that's basically how the subatomic and the atomic structure was created. Now, when the fall happened, we can get into this. When the fall happened with Adam and Eve, it knocked the molecular structure or the subatomic, the atomic level, it knocked everything catawampus, which opened the door to sickness and demonic vibration, because the enemy has a voice as well. And that's where sickness comes from. The key is to harmonize with the voice of God and harmonize with original creation, because everything that was created has muscle memory. It has atomic memory from original source in creation, which is God. So when we create, and there's the process of recreating or atomic memory, if that makes sense, if you can follow that. So the origin of light is sound. And the Lord had been speaking to me for years and years about sound, light, creative power, all of these things as a base formula, as I mentioned, out of Genesis. And if you look at the book of Hebrews, and I'm just shooting off the top of my head, mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that he upholds all things by his mighty word of power. And it says, it goes into talking about creation, and begins to talk about how the things that we see were created by the things that we cannot see. So the physical level, or the which is really the lower realm, the physical world, was created by a superior world. Everything that we see in the natural, the thing that we see in the physical, you know, was created by the world that we cannot see. And God's very name, Elohim, means creator. So he upholds everything in the physical world and the spiritual world by his mighty word of power. And we have an awesome privilege as sons of God, not just Christians, because today everybody seems to be a Christian. And, you know, claiming Christianity or with no demonstration of power. And I'll just leave that alone for right now. But Christ, mm-hmm. if we really are Christians, we are Christians, or little anointed ones, because Christ means anointed. We are little anointed ones, little Christians. And like God, we have the ability to create and recreate by speaking the word of power. And that's where the angelic realm comes in. And that's where the demonic world recognizes anointing. And, you know, I like to say it this way in my book, that we live our life on a stage between demons and angels. It's a cosmic stage. We live our life on a cosmic stage between, you know, the God of the universe, demons, and angels. And they know exactly what we are. They know exactly who we are and what we carry by the light that comes out of us. They know our weaknesses. They know our strengths. They see the anointing. They see the glory. You know, New Agers call it aura. You know, I've had New Agers come to me and say, man, the aura around you. Who are you? This golden light is all around you. Well, what they're seeing is the glory of God. You know, they're seeing the light being, they're seeing my spirit, and they're seeing the glory of God. So, but my journey into, go ahead.
No. This is a quick interjection. This is really important for people to understand. You know, we are watched and viewed from the spirit realm because we exist.
Absolutely.
In the spirit realm and also in the natural, that we have a spirit. And a lot of people don't mm-hmm. realize that the battles that they face are a resistance on who the enemy sees they were designed to be and not what they're presently walking in on Wednesday.
100%.
And people get discouraged and they think God doesn't like them. Sometimes people have no idea the battle they've been engaging because they haven't had a revelation of who they are and who they were designed to be in Christ. I just wanted to take a moment and just kind of hit that nail on the head, because you went there, and this is a major point that a lot of people are just not made aware of.
Absolutely, and then I'll get back to your original question on sound and light. Colossians 1:27 says, it's Christ within, the hope of glory. And, you know, when we accept Christ, and I'm going to make this statement, some of you might not like it, I think most of you will like it, but, you know, I've come from a place, a theological disposition that basically said you had to work for everything. You know, and if you sin, basically you had to come to a place of repentance again, and, you know, you start all over and blah, 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 blah. You know what? Here's the deal. Christ died once and for all. He died for every sin. There's this thing that I absolutely have come to believe, and it's been the bedrock, the foundation for my faith, and it's this, that we are the beneficiaries of all of Christ's breakthroughs. We become the beneficiaries. All of his accomplishments are our accomplishments. You can go through the scripture, and I can quote scripture after scripture. Basically, the scripture says, you know, these are the accomplishments of Christ. He lived, He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. He ascended, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Scripture says we live with him. We died with him. We were buried with him in baptism. If we have been raised to a new life, we have been raised with Christ to a new life, Colossians says. Not only were we raised, but we ascended with him, ascended into the heavenlies, and we are co-seated with him. Ephesians 2:6 says, for he has raised you up and he's caused you to sit down in the heavenly dimension or the heavenly realm, giving you joint seating with him. We have become the beneficiaries of all of his accomplishments and his breakthroughs. We are seated with Christ now on the throne. Devils do not want you to get that revelation. Satan does not want you to understand this. This will give you the confidence. It will give you the revelation that we have completely overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. And in a courtroom of heaven, because when we stand before the Lord in the courtroom of heaven, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, tries to accuse us to God. And when Jesus, who is the defense attorney, looks at us in the courtroom, he says, no, Father, this one's mine. He is the beneficiary, or she is the beneficiary of my blood and my covenant. And the gavel drops in our behalf. It gives us the confidence to move forward. And even though the enemy may say this or say this and accuse this and say, you've done that, it may be true that you or myself or others that are listening, we've made mistakes. But that's not who you are. You are not. You may have made mistakes, but it's not who you are. Reality is, you are an overcomer. Reality is, through Christ's accomplishments, you are seated with him. All he sees is blood. Blood. And we are sons of our Father. It gives us the right of position and the right of authority to release heaven on earth and to destroy the works of the devil, just like Jesus did. Oh, man.
It's really powerful. And I'm gonna say this. What I have seen, Jeff, is that a lot of people that have come through legalism have seen a huge wall erected between them and intimacy with God. And intimacy seems to always precede power and demonstration. Mm-hmm. Because it's like you spend more time trying to appease God than you do enjoying God. And it's the overflow that seems to be the blessing that contains the provision of God, not only for us, but for those around us in our lives, almost like a glass overflowing under a sink, you know, with faucet just keeps going and flowing and flowing. It's like this. You can't quite get there with the legalism, which is where you kind of came out of. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, they really see breakthrough when they begin to understand. And we have actually a whole study at Bride Ministries on in Christ and what that means. And the way you articulated it, I agree with 100%. We are the beneficiaries of Christ's accomplishments.
Yeah, we are.
And that's why you see this term in Christ, I think, all across the New Testament, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. It's like, and we don't get it. Thank you for saying that.
I share it this way, Daniel. Intimacy, when you're intimate with Christ, face to face, when you're intimacy releases identity.
Mm.
Identity releases destiny. So you can't bypass intimacy to understand your destiny. We're intimate with the Lord first, face to face, and our intimacy with him releases out of relationship. We begin to see our identity. When we begin to understand who we are not just Christians, we are more than Christian. We are part of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. We are part of God's family. We are part of him. We are little Elohims. We have the same DNA, the same genetics, the same spirit. We have the same genes as our Father. We are from the God class. And the scripture actually calls us little Elohims. We are little Christs, little Elohim creators. If God is big Elohim creator, and we on the earth are little Elohim, same family, same spirit, same species as God. And we have the right of authority to release that. And So intimacy will always bring us to a place of identity, understanding who we are and who God is, and that identity will release us into our destiny. And that is so key for so many that are listening right now, that are coming out of things that you're coming through and walking through. This is who you really are. And you must have an amazing destiny on your life, because the devil tried to stuff you up.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a real word. There's a lot of survivors, Jeff, that listen to my radio program, and they have been through hell, very literally. Some of them are still there.
Yep.
It's just a reminder. Listen, guys, you are a beneficiary of what Christ accomplished.
That's right. Amen.
Jeff, I want to come back now to this sound and light thing. Okay, so, like,
okay.
There is this huge connection that you make in your book, and you actually begin to relate the light of God in its colors, which are related to the colors of the rainbow, to the seven spirits of the Lord. I want you to just unpack what I just threw out there, because this is fascinating.
Okay. All right, I definitely will. I can give you scripture upon scripture upon scripture, but let me just share. I'm going to share an encounter that I had, and I'm going to go quickly. And it happened in Seattle, Washington. I was in a Russian church in Seattle, Washington, getting ready to preach at a church that I've been to multiple times. And I love the Russian church. We've seen so many supernatural things happening there. From stones, supernatural stones coming out of people's mouths, and just crazy things, because the glory is within, the glory is out. I know it just threw a big bomb out there, and people are saying, what? But it's a reality. You know, we carry the glory of God within. There's creative power, and there's all different kinds of things. But I was in this Russian church, and I was closing my eye. I had my eyes closed. I was getting ready to get introduced to go up and, you know, preach, and I felt the pastor walk up to me. And I opened my eyes, but it wasn't the pastor. As a matter of fact, I didn't see anybody, but someone was standing there. So I thought, okay, I know what this is. And I closed my eyes again, and I went back into the worship. And I felt the person walk up to me again. And when I opened my eyes, it literally was Jesus, who looked like the carpenter. Jesus on the earth. He wasn't the glorified Christ, but it was Jesus. And he was smiling. And he took off dancing with the Russians. They were doing this Russian dance thing, you know, his spirit-filled church. It was actually pretty amazing. And he came by me, and he said, hey, Jeff, you know what I'm doing? He said, I'm dancing with my brothers. And he took off again. You know, just dancing and twirling. And it was pretty amazing. You know, the music at this Russian church was like techno, you know, techno worship. It was pretty amazing. And he came by one more time. He was whirling and twirling, and as he did, he had his hands in front of him, and he threw his chest into my face. And what I saw on his chest was a flaming menorah with the seven colors of the rainbow as flames over the seven golden candlesticks that were there on that menorah. On the menorah, there's seven golden candlesticks, and it was the seven colors of the rainbow were flames. And he didn't speak a word. He was just smiling. And then he said, I'm the first one. Now,
okay.
From that encounter.
Before you go any further, I just have to press rewind for just a minute. Here's the thing. Jesus is making an appearance.
Correct.
How does that actually work mechanically? Here's the thing. Was he there in the physical, so you saw him with your physical eyes? Were you seeing him with your spiritual eyes? How do you explain what you encountered from a mechanical standpoint?
Well, I was seeing him with the eyes of the Spirit. But keep in mind, these were visions. This was like a vision. The Lord will speak through visions. He'll speak through dreams. He'll speak through spiritual language and spiritual mechanics. I sensed, so was it actually happening? Yes, it was. Did I actually feel him step up to me? I felt him step up to me in person before I saw the vision. So it was a combination of both senses being exercised to discern God. And so I saw him in a visionary type experience. But nonetheless, it's real. Bob Jones was my spiritual father. He was a prophet to the nations. And I asked Bob the same question one time. I said, Bob would say, listen, an angel came to me this morning. And he said this and said this and gave me this and said this. And I said, Bob, finally, tell me, did you see him in the natural or did you see him in the spiritual? And Bob said, what's the difference? He said, it takes more faith to see him. It takes more faith to see him in the spirit and less faith to see him in the natural. But they're both real. Whether it's natural or spiritual, it's the same. It's the same mechanics. So my question is, yes.
No, and you know what? I have to ask that question because people get weird, Jeff. It's funny to watch. Like, you
sure
tell me, well, this is what happened. And then people get very weird. And then they go, eh.
Sure they did.
Yeah, sure Jesus showed up.
Yeah, right.
Like you, whatever. And it's like, well, hold on.
Yeah.
First of all, let's look at the fruit first. Were people being healed and set free and delivered? Okay. Oh, there's fruit.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then you'll know them by the fruit. So let's just start
there.
But this 100%. Is the thing. You know, we deal with this a lot, Jeff, as well. And me, and when I'm working with people one-on-one, you know, we have encounters with angels and Jesus. And there's never a physical manifestation, although there have been a few times where we had some, you know, people come back and say, hey, Daniel, I found a feather, like, after this session or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, oh,
right.
Cool. But the thing is, what happens in the spirit is no less real than what happens in the natural. As a matter of fact, it's more real.
Well, remember, the spiritual world created the physical world.
Mm.
It's spirit first, then it's physical. So when Jesus showed it through his chest in my face, I was seeing it completely.
Wow.
He threw his chest in my face, and there was the seven candlesticks with the seven flames. Now, if you look at those seven flames, it was the seven colors of the rainbow. That's very, very significant. And if you read the book of Zechariah, Daniel, Zechariah chapter 3, it talks about the sevenfold radiations of the Spirit of God, the sevenfold radiations, or the seven eyes of the Lord, or the seven spirits of God. The sevenfold radiations, Zechariah 3 talks about radiations. Well, radiation is light. So the sevenfold radiant light of the seven spirits of God are color, because light is color. It's broken down into the seven colors of the light, the spectrum of light. And when you put them all together, it makes white light. So the sevenfold radiations of the seven spirits of God literally are a light. And the Lord showed me this. Now, this program wouldn't allow me time to be able to get into it and to break it all down. But the seven spirits of God, or the seven radiations, the sevenfold flow of the Holy Spirit, is the John 3:30 through 3:34, where God gave Jesus the Spirit without limit. He had unlimited power, or the Spirit without limit, without measure on his life. And if you look at the book of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it talks about, this is what rested on the life of Jesus Christ. The branch of the Lord is beautiful, comes out of the stump of Jesse, which is Christ, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's number one. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the reverential fear of the Lord. These seven spirits are the sevenfold flow of the Holy Spirit. And each one of them, I mean, God is light, just like we are children of light, Scripture says. So God is light. His children, or his family members, are light. And when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, like Jesus was, we are filled with all of the fullness of God, Ephesians 2 and 3 says. We're filled with the power that created the universe. It's just that it takes the outer workings of the mechanics of going through the mental faculties and the inner working of the power of the transformed mind. You know, Romans 12:2, be transformed, you know, in your mind, be renewed in your mind. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is where the battle takes place, and that's where so many get stuck. They get stuck in the mind, and the enemy tries to captivate the mind and to control the mind. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, he begins to work and break down and bring revelation, which brings freedom. and light to our being. And that's what revelation is, it's light. So, you know, I'm hitting on some things that I believe that many of the listeners need to hear. But when Christ comes into us, we are filled with all of the fullness of God, and the very first thing God is after is the mind. And that's what the devil's after. The battle is for the mind, and God wants to renew the mind, bring the power of transformation through encounter to liberate us, to cause us to see who we really are. We are family with God. Now, the devil does not want you to hear this. We are family with God. We are one spirit with God, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. We are partakers, 2 Peter 1, 4, of his divine nature. We are part of him. It doesn't make us God. It makes us born of God, or same species as God, or children of God. We are born from him, and we carry the power of that government. And when we begin to see who we are, it releases so much revelation, destiny, identity. We have the power to overthrow and to destroy the works of the enemy. I know I said a lot there, but man,
no,
it's truth.
It's really good. And this was I mean, I would have never thought to connect the different colors of the rainbow to the menorah, to the seven spirits. So while I was reading your book, I actually got really excited. I was like, that's so cool. I now have to get into another step though, because this is the thing, right? All right. So if you read Isaiah chapter 11, it talks about the seven spirits. It says, you know, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, the spirit of, and then we go through wisdom, yep, knowledge, understanding, counsel, right, might, and the fear of the Lord. And so there's seven there.
Right.
And okay, this is one thing I can never figure out, Jeff. And I think everybody else that listens to this program is probably asking the same question. Why is wisdom always portrayed as a woman, right? Because, you know, obviously, I guess God just thought that, you know, maybe wives are smarter than husbands. I don't know. Here you go into the book of Proverbs, and it says, wisdom has in her right hand, length of days, in her left hand. Wait, why not him? Why couldn't wisdom be a guy, Jeff? Now, this is the thing. If wisdom is also described as one of the seven spirits of the Lord, and you see wisdom personified female, how does this make any sense? I mean, isn't God a male chauvinist? Like some people have accused him of being, that have read the Bible, and, you know, feminists, like, oh, I'm not going to be Christian because God's just a male chauvinist. There's only male angels and this and that. Like, well, what is Jeff Janssen's opinion on this subject?
Yeah, first of all, angels appear in many forms. Angels will appear as warriors. They will appear as, you know, look at the seraphim, look at the cherubim, face of a lion, face of an ox, face of a man, face of an eagle. That's a pretty wild looking angel, and a seraphim is an angel. Angels look very, very different. And if you look at the spirit of wisdom, and I'm going to talk about the spirit of wisdom in just a little bit. If you look at the spirit of wisdom, wisdom appears female in the scripture. Proverbs chapter 8 says, I, wisdom, raise my voice. A wisdom raises her voice. She cries out. Wisdom is female. In spirit, it's female. God created both male and female. God would have to know something about femaleness. It's a part of who he is, a part of his nature. It's a part of, you know, it's a part of an expression of who he is. God has to understand femaleness and maleness. But when you look at the angelic realm, where you look at what wisdom is actually personified as in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom raises her voice, she cries out. Now, do you want me to share this encounter that I had out of the book, Daniel? Because I can definitely do that.
Yeah, I would actually like you to share the encounter you had with wisdom that's in your book.
Okay, sure. There were, going back to 2006, I was involved in some amazing events that took place in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And I don't have time to get into that just for the broadcast, but God was doing some amazing things. So There was powerful things that were being manifested physically in my meetings. And anybody that's been to a Jeff Jansen meeting, you know, you may hear me talk about from time to time, you know, golden oil. I was just in Germany preaching at the beginning of the year. All kinds of signs and wonders were happening. 17 nations, there was supernatural oil coming down the wall. You know, what does it look like when God invades a room? Well, there was supernatural oil that was beginning to flow down the wall. It was dripping off of the ceiling onto chairs. You know, sometimes there's gold dust that appears. I've seen people get gold teeth. You know, sometimes gemstones, along with blind eyes being opened, deaf ears being opened, along with creative miracles happening. And, you know, people say, well, why would God do those things? Well, those are the things that are actually happening in heaven. I mean, there's oil in heaven. There's stones in heaven. There's gold in heaven. What does it look like when heaven invades our world, when the supernatural or when the throne room of God actually steps into our world? Well, those attributes begin to manifest. That's probably the best way that I can say it. So there were some things that were happening in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where it was absolutely amazing, and maybe I'll qualify it later on. But I was sitting in a chair praying in 2006 in June, and I was getting ready to go to a meeting in Washington, Yakima, Washington. And I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was sitting in the chair, and I was just sitting before the Lord. I was just waiting on the Lord. And I felt the presence. I felt this presence walk up. And this does not happen to me all the time. You're asking me of specific encounters. This is not something that happens to me on a daily basis. We're talking, I don't recall something as powerful as this other than my other visitation with Jesus, you know, when I was at 19 years old. You know, this was an angelic encounter, but it was more than an angelic encounter. Because when I opened my eyes, sitting in my chair at 4 o'clock in the morning, the spirit of wisdom was standing in front of me. And you may say, oh, you know, well, I'm just telling you my testimony. This is something that happened to me. And this angel, or wisdom, began to speak to me out of Proverbs chapter 8. And she basically said, you know, Jeff, I was there in the beginning, you know, when God created the heavens and the earth. And I was there as a master builder, just like Proverbs chapter 8 says. I was there as a master builder, applauding all of his works as he drew the circle of creation, and as he drew the parameters of the earth and the heavens, I was there. And the scripture says, by wisdom a house is built. She said in Proverbs chapter 8, I have counsel, I have might with me. And, you know, I had this encounter went on for probably 15 minutes, where wisdom was speaking to me out of Proverbs chapter 8, and wisdom said, you know, Jeff, to get wisdom is better than rubies. And I'm watching this whole thing happening in a visionary encounter. Remember, God speaks in visions. He speaks in dreams. Ezekiel was sitting at the river Chebar, Ezekiel 1, and the heavens were open, and he had visions of God. Visionary communication is spirit language or spirit talk. I was watching this in a visionary capacity, and I was along for the ride. This was the Lord communicating spirit to spirit. So for 15 minutes, and she said, listen, I have counsel and I have might with me. And about that time, she stepped aside and two other angels stepped up that were counsel and might. And they had long scrolls in their hands. And they proceeded to put them in my mouth. And I ended up eating those books or those scrolls, which I know were part of a destiny or something I was to get. And then when they were done, they stepped aside, and another angel came up and handed me a 50-carat ruby. And in my book, I show a picture of a 50-carat ruby. And there's not just one of those. There's actually 40 of those. And there's other ministries and ministers that I know that during that time in 2006 had similar encounters, and they received the same thing because something was happening. Now, I know that that's a mouthful for a lot of people, but nonetheless, it was a reality. And so without going into all the details, that's what happened. But the spirit of wisdom is actually female in appearance. Gabriel is male in appearance. Michael is male in appearance. Raphael, which is a healing angel, is actually male in appearance. And these are angelic beings, you know. So, anyways, I hope. You know, I threw a lot of stuff out there, and probably the best thing to do would be to get my book and go online and get it. Or, you know, if you can't afford, I'd be more than happy to somehow see if we can get you at least a portion of the copy of what took place there. But you can go on YouTube, Global Fire TV, and I share a lot more detail about what that looks like. But pretty amazing.
Well, folks, I'll tell you what, I was reading Jeff's book. Jeff had never done this. He invited me into his church to speak, having really never sat down and had a conversation with me prior. And it was this amazing weekend. God was all over it. So we exchanged books, and I took his books back with me. I got into The Furious Sound of Glory. And I'm going through there, and as I'm reading his accounts and his stories, I'm like, what? And looking at the picture, because he's not kidding. There's pictures in his book of what he's talking about. They took pictures of the ruby. They took pictures of other stones and things that materialized. You have to remember, folks, and this is where I actually do get excited. It's because the kingdom of God is a realm. It's paradise. It exists. And the thing is, the Bible is very clear that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. That kingdom exists. And so why is crossover not allowed? Well, that's actually a rhetorical question, because the thing is, crossover is not only allowed, it's the whole point. God wants us to learn to engage heaven by faith as a lifestyle and to live out of the abundance of his realm as opposed to the lack of this one. And for me, reading Jeff's book, I'm like, man, talk about signs and wonders confirming what God wants us to embrace as just truth about lifestyle. You might have a physical 50 carat ruby, which is like the coolest thing ever. I'm like, man, you know, God, I'll take one. I'm just kidding, right? But the truth is, if that wasn't materialized, would it exist anyway? And the answer is yes, it does exist in the realm of God. And the thing is, Jeff got to see it. And then ultimately you saw it given into the natural, and that's, you didn't quite get to that point in this description, but it's in your book. It exists there, and that's where we have to realize, folks. Ephesians 1:3 says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing the heavenly places. That the thing is, all of that wealth is there. It's stored up. It's existing presently now, and we can pull it in by faith, and it can look like promotions at jobs, land grants, wealth, ideas, witty inventions that generate large quantities of capital. I mean, it doesn't have to be the actual thing, but I'll tell you, the testimony is that it's there and it's real.
Here's the thing. You're all over it. Here's the thing. You know, if you look at heaven, the gates of heaven. You know, we talk about the pearly gates. Yeah, they're made out of, they're actually pearls. The foundation stones, if you look in the Book of Revelation, they're emerald, they're diamond, they're sapphire, they're ruby. They exist. That's not just a fairy tale. That's the reality of the dimensions and what the foundation of the gates of heaven, what they look like. The streets literally are gold. So there is the dimensions. When these things happen, they're just signs and they're wonders. It's just what's in that realm invades our world. That what's in that dimension, in the heavenly sphere, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly dimension. What's in that realm invades our world. And not only is it those things, but it's miracles, because there is no sickness in heaven. So if there's no sickness in heaven, there should be no sickness in this world. And bringing the reality of healing and the miraculous and creative miracles, we see metal pins and rods and plates disappear out of people's bodies. God gives brand new hearts. Cancer automatically it's eliminated because there is no cancer in heaven. So we declare on earth as it is in heaven, and it begins to manifest. That's just the way it is. It's an anointing. Part of it's a gift. Part of it's a gift of faith, but it's a reality. So I just wanted to interject that for those of you that may be struggling to grasp conceptually what I'm talking about. It's not so much about the things that manifest, but it's about manifesting heaven on earth. And I'm not the only one. There are many, 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 many that I know that things like this happen. They're called signs and wonders.
Folks, there's a conference coming up, and I've been making a few mentions of it. I'm going to mention it again with Jeff right here. And it's going to be in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at his church. And it's called Dimensions of Glory and Kingdom Warfare School, November 4th through the 6th this year. And we're going to be getting, and by we, I mean Jeff and myself, since he invited me, and I just consider it a privilege. And we're going to be getting into not only the subjects dealing with glory and kingdom, but marrying that to a message on spiritual warfare, which, of course, those of you that follow Bride Ministries know we are on all the time. And you are invited. You can go to globalfireministries.com and sign up. You can also go to globalfireministries.com to find out all about Jeff and Jeff's ministry, their events, their store, their ministries. GlobalFireMinistries.com. And, you know, Jeff, I know we're out of time. I would have had you on a lot longer than this, but what no one knows is that prior to this interview, there was quite a few technical challenges that mean this is going to be just a bit shorter. But before I let you go,
okay,
can you pray for those that are listening to this and are actively engaged now, saying, wow, God, do you really have healing for me from your realm? This guy's talking like you do. I want you to pray for those people, Jeff.
I definitely will. And I want to encourage you also that if you can make it, if you're in the region, and we've got people signing up, coming from out of state like we do for all of our events, I want to highly encourage you to come, because there will be times for healing in the miraculous, as well as deliverance and impartation. It's going to be an incredible event. So November 4th through 6th with Daniel and myself. For those of you that are listening to the sound of my voice right now, I want you to pay attention to what's going to happen. I want you to extend your hand toward the computer right now. I know you can't see me or your smartphone or whatever you're doing, but I want you by faith to extend your hand, because it takes some action on your behalf. So I'm going to ask you to extend your hand toward whatever you're listening to, because I'm extending my hand toward you now, and there is no time or space in the spiritual dimension. And I'm extending my hand to you now by you listening to this broadcast. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, wow. In the name of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, you told the centurion soldier, only speak the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. So, Lord, I quote the Matthew 8:8 power of the spoken word for all that are listening right now and extending their hand towards the computer or their smartphone. In the name of Jesus Christ, as a point of contact, I release healing flow right now. I release healing power. I break the power of cancer. I break the power of tumors in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I break every demonic control and render it powerless in Jesus' name. And I command eyes to be completely restored. I command ears to open. And Lord, I want to thank you for the breakthrough. I speak the power of breakthrough over every listener now. I command breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ into every individual now. Say now with me, now, in Jesus' name. I release power. I release anointing. I release your glory on them now. And Father, I pray for the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom to come to them now, that would cause them to realize who they are, that brings the spirit of life in Christ Jesus to them, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Father, I pray, breakthrough, freedom, liberty now, and clarity of mind in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just release miracles. Whatever the need is, oh Lord, according to their need, I release miracles. And I see fibromyalgia right now over several women that have fibromyalgia, which comes from fear. I bind fear, I break the power of fear, and I release healing into the muscles and healing into the bones, healing into the muscles and the ligament in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I just release healing. And for everyone that is looking for breakthrough, everyone looking for deliverance, I release it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jeff. And I know we got to let you go. Folks, again, November 4th through the 6th, www.globalfireministries.com. And of course, Jeff's books are available not only there, but anywhere you're going shopping for books. So, Jeff, thank you so much for your time, brother.
And thank you, Daniel, for having me on the program. I really appreciate it. We'll have to do it again.
We will. Folks, until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow. Beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.